Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. The NBA is still on hold. It's pretty much dead period right now because as the world battles the coronavirus, the Spurs are pretty much in quarantine. And so is the rest of seemingly the sports world. So there's no games to talk about. But there are a few tidbits here and there to catch you up in case you may have missed some news regarding the COVID-19 virus impacting the Spurs. Yes, it still continued to have an impact on the Spurs directly and indirectly. We'll talk about that in a minute. But perhaps the biggest news this week so far has been Rudy Gay. Pretty much, I don't know how to say this, but let's just say he was very optimistic about the Spurs' chances before the season was postponed. As far as breaking the NBA record of 23 straight appearances in the postseason from your San Antonio Spurs. So we're going to discuss that in more detail, but let's go ahead and bring on Joe Garcia. He is the host of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. Glad to have you back, buddy. And by the way, you keeping safe out there?
Yeah, keeping safe. Just had a long day today, you know, just trying to help my mother-in-law and my dad. You know, they're kind of elderly and need help getting their medications and groceries, and you got to stand in line now, and you know, it's a you got to practice that social distancing, and it's not really an inconvenience to us all. I'm just trying to, you know, help my mother-in-law and my pops stay safe and sane during these troubled times. You know,
it is the new norm now. I went through it too. I went to Walgreens and there's tape on the floor as far as the spacing is when you're in line to check out, and then they're now just letting X amount of people in at a time. When I exited, you know, somebody was behind me and then they let two other people in as we went out. So it is definitely a new normal. At least hopefully it'll change soon and this virus gets out of our heads and out of our headlines, because enough already. But hey, you know what, Joe, just because the Spurs are on hold right now and nobody knows when they will resume play, if and when the NBA will resume play, this virus though is not only impacting your life and my life, but it's also impacting the Spurs' lives. And let's start with perhaps the biggest news, the biggest positive that came out of it so far, and that's Tim Duncan. You know, he is considered one of the greatest Spurs of all time. He might be up there as far as just a great human being of all time. Because of the pandemic hitting his home country of the Virgin Islands, first getting screened, and maybe these kids are not, you know, carrying the virus, but if they're not, Tim Duncan is paying their way within the Virgin Islands to get back home. So, for example, if a kid from the Virgin Islands is stuck in University X and he needs to get to home Y, but it's clearly across the Virgin Islands, he is paying for their flight so long as they are clear of the virus. Joe, I mean, Tim Duncan still being great, isn't he?
Yeah, that he is, you know, and he's just doing a lot for everybody in his hometown, you know, trying to just come out there and do his part, you know, to help people any way he can, you know. And if you're financially able to help people, I mean, you know, God gave you a blessing, so you got to kind of pay it forward, you know. So it's good to see him doing his part, you know, to pay it forward. And I'm sure that these kids that he's helping out are going to remember that. And hopefully one day when they, you know, graduate and maybe move on and, you know, get in that corporate world and start making some big time coin, they'll pay it forward as well, you know, so for the next generation. So it's always good to see that kind of generosity.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's obviously hitting Marco Bellinelli the most. Italy is one of the hardest hit countries with the virus. They're still dealing with it. The good news is it looks like they're starting to come out of it. Nevertheless, you know, you're seeing deaths left and right because of the coronavirus. Bellinelli is still keeping strong, still talking about the situation in Italy. He's saying it's pretty much, you know, a tough scene to look at. But so far, you know, he is, as mentioned before on the show, financially donating money to a hospital. So he's keeping strong for Italy and, of course, making it very well known that what people should do and not do as far as helping prevent the spread of the virus. And then, of course, the other biggest news impacting the Spurs because of the virus, being the Olympics. The Olympics have been postponed, Joe, until 2021. That means Popovich will not make his Olympic coaching debut until 2021. It's also impacting, Joe, Other Spurs look at Chimezie Metu, Team Nigeria. You know, if he does opt to play, you know, that's another year away. Same thing for Patty Mills. You know, he did a PSA to his Australian athletes, teammates, saying to keep strong, you know, be focused, to be ready to represent Team Australia when the time comes. You just see his impact hit now a larger, a bigger sporting event. That is the Olympics, Joe. So, you know, for Spurs fans, that's usually a time for them to have some basketball during the summer with Pop there. And not to mention Derek White, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar DeRozan. You know, they were invited to Team USA preliminary squad practice this summer. We don't know if that's going to happen. Joe, your thoughts on the postponement of the Olympics and how it impacts San Antonio Spurs?
Well, the way that it's going to impact them is that, you know, more than likely with this COVID-19, you know, this coronavirus that everybody is battling on a global scale, you have the, you know, of course, the Olympics being postponed until 2021. But now it's going to have not just players, you know, across the league here in the NBA, but across the world, because we're talking about, you know, national basketball or international basketball that's on a global scale. It's going to affect all those athletes, because now, if you think about it, Jeff, if they postpone the Olympics, now instead of having a full, you know, 4 years, 3 years, what have you, to kind of prepare and kind of let the body recoup a little bit, you know, and then start over again, it's like you're going to finish, then you're going to have to go right back into it again and start playing tourneys and start, you know, going out there and playing some tough competition. And not only that, but, you know, trying to keep your body in prime shape as well. So it's going to be a really long process for them. There's going to be no downtime, you know, at all. They're just going to jump right back into the thick of things. But from the Spurs perspective, you know, as far as, you know, not only Spurs basketball, that, you know, of course, that the Spurs fans get to see their, you know, favorite players play for their respective teams, that's not going to be happening. But at the same time, you know, I think it's a good thing, because everybody needs to kind of like shelter in place, stay with your families, think about them. The last thing these athletes are going to want to do is be away from their families during these trying times. And then you have to, you know, call upon them to play at the highest level, and their mind might not be right there and, you know, with the game at hand. It's going to be more what's going back home with my parents or my wife, my kids, you know, that kind of thing. So I think this is a good thing in a sense where, you know, now that you have this hiatus, everybody's spending more time with their family. So that's the silver lining, though. You get to spend more time with your family, you know?
Yeah, here's the thing, too. You know, the last thing the Spurs need is, let's just say the Olympics were to go on as planned, and then Pop or Derek White or Patty Mills, they catch this virus. You know, I think that's the last thing they needed. And, yeah, you know, at least according to, you know, reports and articles out there, this virus could be cleared up by the summer, but you don't want to risk it. You know, all you need is that one person or that few group of people that escape detection, and then you go into a setting like the Olympics where everybody is close to each other. The athletes live together in Olympic Village. That's the last thing you need. So give an extra bit of time for the virus to work its way out of everybody's system, if whoever those get it, and so to help pretty much halt it in its feet, and so it doesn't spread not only to the athletes, had it gone on as scheduled, but to fans, people who went to the Olympics to go check it out. So hope, and the health is more important right now than the Olympic Games. It will happen. It just got delayed a little bit. So hang on in there. And of course, you know, as far as the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio are concerned, Rudy Gay recently talked to Danny Green on his show about how the virus has impacted him. No, he doesn't have it, but how it's forcing him to work out more at home, as everybody pretty much is doing. It's him spending more time with his family. As you mentioned, Joe, you know, he said he's even teaching his kid at home when he should be in school. So he's picked up that kind of educator role. He released video of him doing his workouts at home. And he pretty much said, Joe, that he has not been tested yet, but he detailed exactly how they found out. They said they found out after the Brooklyn game that something was going on. And he revealed, and then they realized they played against Utah recently. And then he even joked about it. He said, hey, you know, first thing I thought was, did I have to guard Rudy Gobert? So it was definitely on his mind. it's impacting him. He's saying that he's ready to play, but at the same time, he understood exactly why the NBA made the decision. So at least Rudy Gay is saying, you know, he gets it, you know, but you just got to wait it out, don't we, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much in the same predicament as all of us. We're just trying to wait this thing out and actually see what's going to transpire here within the next, you know, few days, a week from now, a month from now.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, everybody just wants to return to some sense of normalcy, you know, and we're all in the same predicament, as I said, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings and we're sharing this planet together. So what affects one of us right now is actually affecting all of us. So, you know, it's just different, dude. It's weird. It's like we're living a real movie right now. Like,
it
you
is,
know, like
yeah.
I had said in another episode, it's like we're living pandemic or outbreak from, you know, the outbreaks from the 90s. For those who haven't seen it, it is on Netflix. You might want to check that out. But it is a good movie. But it's kind of like, we're, you know, we're living that scenario, which we never thought was possible. So it's just a weird time right now, you know?
It really is. And, you know, each day passes. Think about this, listener. That's a day closer to, you know, resuming of the NBA season, your Spurs season, in some shape, way, manner, or form. We said it before. Joe and I talked about this. You know, yeah, the NBA could come back. You just don't know what form. Sure, you know, NBA starts tomorrow, let's pretend. But that doesn't mean you probably can't go to the AT&T Center. They could just have players only and everybody watch from home, just to continue being proactive in helping stop the spread of the virus. Even if they were to say, you know, the government were to say, hey, everybody, it's back to normal. Well, maybe you want to take an extra week or two just to really make sure, because this is something you don't want to mess around. But that's your latest as far as the Spurs being impacted by the coronavirus. And yeah, you know, it's weird times, but everybody's getting through this. All right, so that's your quick update on the Spurs being impacted by the coronavirus. Now, let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone. It's hard for me to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on your own personal development. But there is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. Now, it's called Blinkist. You're probably asking me, what's Blinkist? I know Joe's probably thinking, what's Blinkist? So I'm going to tell him right now, listener. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Now, Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of books, nonfiction or fiction, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people just like you, who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles, from bestsellers list, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read and never had time to. So share your personal experience with Blinkist. I like Blinkist. You should like Blinkist. And if you use Blinkist, I guarantee you will like it. I've listened and read to these books, and I highly recommend you check some of them out. You can go check it out at Blinkist. Just simply Google it, Blinkist, and you'll find everything you need to know about it. Now, with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to a massive library that you can read or listen to. And in condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for you and my audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, Joe, let's get right back to it. Look, there has not been much as far as Spurs news, but perhaps the biggest one, maybe more of a bombshell that a lot of fans really had an opinion about, and that's Rudy Gay and his thoughts about what the Spurs could have done had the season continued. And he spoke with The Athletic. And what he told them was this, in a nutshell, that the Spurs were right there. They were going to make this incredible winning streak. They were going to make it happen, Joe. They were going to get it together. And guess what? He said they would be on the eighth seed. They would be in the postseason, and they would have break that record that the Spurs are tied with the Sixers as far as the most consecutive playoff appearances. Joe, are you buying it? Are you buying what Rudy Gay is selling?
Not at all, man. And I don't think anybody else in Spurs Nation or on, you know, in Spurs Twitter is buying that nonsense either. You know, I love his optimism, you know, but the numbers don't lie, you know, and what the numbers tell you this season is the Spurs have been inconsistent. They haven't won more than three games. Now, could they go, you know, and finish, could they have gone and finished the season with maybe a four game or a five game win streak? Sure. But would it have been enough to get them into that eighth and in the final, you know, spot in the West? Probably not. Cause let's face it, the numbers weren't in the Spurs' favor. And we all saw with what there was less than maybe 20 games, 21 games left in the regular season for them to play. And it just didn't look good. They were only afforded to lose four more times, you know, and that was it. After that, that's all she wrote, you know, from a perspective of just crunchy numbers. They would have found themselves on the outside looking in because there's just no way they would have been able to catch up with the teams in front of them unless Memphis went and, you know, get the Spurs aside and lost like 10 games in a row. But that wasn't going to happen because you still had the Pelicans winning and you still had the other teams in front of them winning as well. So now I think Rudy Gay is misinformed at this point. I think he's just going on his, I don't know, emotion maybe, you know, that, hey, he really believed in this team and they could have really done something. Well, Rudy Gay, hate to break it to you, but you were part of the issue as well because Rudy hit a wall. He didn't look very good and he looked like he was an aging former all-star. You know, he just didn't look good, you know, this last part of the season. And everybody else kind of noticed that. For him to actually say that, I think that's a reach. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, Joe, you know, I get it. You know, the Spurs, at least up until the hiatus, were not looking good. They got bombed in Brooklyn. They lost in overtime at Cleveland. But they did win beating Dallas before the hiatus. And they picked up wins against quality teams despite their record. We mentioned Dallas. They beat them. They had beat the Clippers early in the season. They would always beat the teams that were above 500. You know this, but somehow, some reason, the Spurs struggled against sub-500 teams. If you look at their schedule, had it the season continued, they would have hosted Denver, Minnesota, and Memphis. You know, key games right there, Denver and Memphis mainly. I get Rudy's optimism. He's going to say what he's going to have to say. He's not going to go on the record and say, oh, we were toast. We were done. We were cooked. No way in hell we were going to make the postseason. But look, the Spurs showed last season, Joe, that they could rally. The Spurs mathematically, as you mentioned right now, they were not out of it. I think Rudy Gay was onto something. Maybe it's just me being pie in the sky right now and me being Mr. Optimistic alongside Rudy. But this team could have, if anything, really have made it come down to the last couple of games of the season. They had games against Chicago that should have been winnable. You know, they had games against Golden State, winnable. You got twice Golden State. They had a couple more times. Kings, possibly, they could have probably gotten the win there. Memphis as well. I get it. Memphis was a strong team. They pretty much shellacked the Spurs early in the season, but they were also not looking too hot coming down the stretch. They had a really tough schedule. And of course you got the Pelicans. Yes, they were hot, but you know, it could have been too much too soon. You look, Rudy's speculating, you're speculating because the season just stopped. We don't know. So I'm going to give Rudy a little bit of a pass here. I think the Spurs could have done it. Joe, I'm smoking whatever he's smoking too, am I?
Yeah, man. I don't know. Maybe the fumes from inside the apartment are getting to you, man. Maybe it's just the mold. I don't know.
well, look, Joe, you know, the history shows the Spurs have rallied late in the season. They did it last season. They did seasons before. Can you factor that in your personal opinion regarding Rudy Gay's statement? You know, would you give him a little bit of pass because the Spurs have done that before?
This is a very different team. You know, we compare them to teams in years past. In years past, who did they have, you know, on their team? They had Tim Duncan. They had the fake number two. You know, they had Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know, and a plethora of other cast members, Danny Green. You know, they had people who could guard the wing. The Spurs could play decent enough defense, you know, good defense, and, you know, keep other teams honest and actually, you don't have to worry about just, you know, trying to make the playoffs and fighting for the eighth spot, you know, where they're all the race for eight. I hated that, you know, here in San Antonio. Why are we excited that they're, you know, vying for the eighth spot? This was a team who won it all in 2014, and now we come full circle here, and we're happy that we're going to make the eighth spot. That's not something to be celebrated. You know, it made us all upset, of course, but I just think that Rudy is just getting ahead of himself. You're not the team of old. This is a different Spurs team with a lot of inexperienced players. So that's what I'm trying to get at. You know, I think that he's just very optimistic, but overall, he probably knew himself that they weren't going to make the playoffs, you know? The only good thing you can take away from it, Spurs fans, is you love the optimism, and it would have been really nice to see some of the younger players get some run. But overall, we knew it wasn't going to be long, you know?
Yeah, and look, as mentioned before, Rudy Gay is not going to go on the record. He's going to be negative. He's not going to do that. You know, he'd be crazy to be on that platform to say, yes, Athletic, we sucked, and we were not going to make the postseason. He's not going to do that. They say he never count out the Spurs. And although this could have been the season, and we don't know if it's going to resume, it's just for argument's sake, say it's done with, they're not going to resume. This was the season that they looked shaky. They really looked shaky. The way they lost to Brooklyn right before the break, I mean, that was horrific. But then they come back and rebound against the Mavericks and really stick it to them. It was a team built with veterans, and I get it. They're not veteran players like your Duncans and Kawhi Leonards and Ginobili. But they were still there. DeMar DeRozan was playing great this season. LaMarcus Aldridge was coming back from his injury. He looked really good. I gave this team a chance at that possibility of making it happen because of Popovich timeline. Things are starting to come around. You're looking at that Dallas when, you know, they hold them to 109 points, which in today's standards is great. And you look at their last 10, they were 5-5. They were not below 500. And at that point, being at 500 is good for San Antonio, considering the season they had. But, Joe, at the end of the day, let's just say Rudy was right. Would it have surprised you that the Spurs made the postseason?
It would have surprised me. It would have surprised everybody here, you know, in San Antonio. Because, as I stated before, I mean, we saw the product that was on the court. And this team was looking every bit a lottery team, like a lottery team, a subpar, under 500 team, you know. And just because Rudy Gay is optimistic and comes out and gives these comments, it's not changing our mind. And we're not my mind, and I'm sure a lot of other people's mind as well. We can be optimistic, but the realist in everybody tells you, you knew it wasn't going to happen. You know, we had already come through the five stages of grief. I think we came to acceptance before they ended or suspended the season, should I say. So,
right.
You know, I think we're all ready for it.
Let's just say they resume, Joe, and just for the argument's sake and for this show, Adam Silver says, okay, wherever y'all left off, that's where y'all going to pick up. And the Spurs, you have 19 games left on your season, so have at it. How do you think the Spurs would have done in those 19 games? You think they still would have floundered, or do you think that it's this big hiatus would have actually helped because they were hurting still. Yet Lonnie Walker, who got dinged up, DeJounte Murray got dinged up, Jakob Poeltl was out, you know, for MCL strain. Do you think them coming back healthy would have helped them make a push to the postseason?
I think, and after this hiatus, that they would have come back and played the remainder of the games, there would have been a surge, no doubt, especially if they were playing here in front of the home crowd. You know, they would have at least got maybe a couple games under their belt. I'd say maybe they would have won. Out of the 19 games left, they probably would have won maybe four, five of those games. The rest, I'm not sure, because I think that adrenaline would have worn off. And after that adrenaline wears off, you know, and you start getting tired and winded, you know, because you've been out for quite some time and trying to get back into that game shape, it was going to be hard for our veterans to kind of get back in rhythm. I think the youth, the younger guys, they would have just mm-hmm. been out there balling out there on the court like nobody's business. But again, you're going to have youth, and then you have the veterans out there, and that mixture together on the court, it would have taken them a little bit of time to kind of get back in rhythm. And then when the dust settled, Jeff, I don't know, man. I think the most that they could have won in these last 19 games would have probably been seven games, and I'm being very, very liberal with that, you know?
Yeah, look, I get why the reaction to Rudy Gay's comments was what it was. It was a lot of laughter, a lot of, yeah, right, Rudy kind of reacts from Spurs fans. And rightfully so, the Spurs were not playing their greatest basketball throughout the season. They weren't. You know, but you would see flashes. You would see the games where they were just wiping out the competition. There may have been a few far between, may have been very rarely, but it was there. And then you look at Memphis, how they had a tough schedule. You're looking at some of the teams they had left on the schedule that were winnable. Yeah, I think the Spurs would have been there. In my opinion, I think at the end of the day, they would have been there to the bitter end. I think it would have been a situation where the Spurs, you know, destiny may have been out of their hands, and they, you know, helping themselves by winning, yes. But I think it really would have came down to, okay, New Orleans, you got to beat this team, and this team has to lose. I think it would have been one of those situations for the Spurs. And I think they would have made it in like that, or that would have cost them a postseason berth. I think they at that point, the Spurs' destiny was out of their hands, and I think it just came down to math, because that's what it was towards the end of the season before the break. It was all math. How many times, Joe, did we say that mathematically they're still in it? This has to happen, and this has to happen. I think that's exactly how the season would have ended. Everybody probably would have been up super late at night seeing some sort of, you know, game with the Grizzlies and the Blazers, and whoever wins that bounces up Spurs out, or this team loses, they're in. Do you think that's how it would have ended?
Again, you know, you think you're a little bit more optimistic than I am.
You're just saying that the Spurs were going to get destroyed. There is no way they're going to make it.
There's no way they were going to make those playoffs. I think we all knew that. Again, we went through the phases of grief, you know, so we came to acceptance near the end, as I stated before, and there was just no way. We saw what was happening out there on the court. They were very inconsistent. They couldn't string together more than three wins this whole season, you know, so why are they going to go and win six games in a row, five games in a row? I just didn't see it happening. You know, and we also had the issue with injuries. You know, we had that injury bug bite us. So we were trying to, you know, kind of play through that as well. So we had a lot of things stacked up against us. You know, I just think that they would have made a valiant effort at the end. They would have been playing, you know, for pride at that point. And the games would have been close. I'm not saying they would have gotten blown out every single time they went out there. There would have been some blowouts, but they would have been respectable, you know, at least, you know, try to keep it, you know, close, at least for three quarters. Maybe in that fourth quarter, the wheels fall off again, like always, because they have trouble closing out games. You know, they don't have a true closer, and we saw the issues at hand. So I'm just saying the product out there on the court was going to be the product out there on the court. And no matter how much we wanted it to go the other way, as you're stating, Jeff, I just didn't see it happening.
Well, there you have it. Joe saying that they were just not going to do it. For me, I think they still had a fighting chance. But, of course, we want to hear what you have to say. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Of course, Joe, you can follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. When we get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We're back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia. He is the host of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, tell everybody about Two Shots Podcast.
Yeah, they want to go ahead and check out all the things that we had done earlier in the season as far as our catalog of back, you know, replays of the Two Shots Podcast, and also check out our replays from our videos that we do, you know, after Spurs games, and actually, you know, live streaming some of our episodes. Go ahead and check us out at twoshotspodcast.com, which is all spelled out, twoshotspodcast.com.
Joe, DeJounte Murray asked fans recently if New Balance should release his personal edition Spurs Fiesta sneakers. As everybody knows, he's with Team New Balance now, and he has his own signature shoe. But then within that signature shoe line, there's only one shoe made, which has the Spurs 1990s Fiesta colors that are only for him, not for the public. Joe, have you seen those shoes? And if New Balance does release them, will you be buying some?
No, not really, man. I'm going to be honest with you.
I saw the shoe.
I'm gonna tell you the honest to goodness truth, man. I'm not going to lie or sugarcoat it. I saw the shoe, and I thought it was okay. It's not something that I'm going to be like, wow, man, I got to have that shoe. You know, it's something that I must have. It's the coloring, yes, but it's still missing something. You know, can we put the city skyline in there? Can we put, you know, a homage to SA, put some SA flavor in there, a little bit, you know, something, you know? I mean, we used to have these bomb, you know, warm-up suits from the 90s. You know, can we give a little nod to that, a little reference to that? You know, that would have been cool to see some of the iconic, you know, places that we see all the time here in San Antonio on the shoe itself, you know? So it's just the color, you know? Anybody can go and color a shoe and say, oh, this is the Fiesta one. But what really makes it, you know, seeing with the fans is that little extra something. To me, it was just too plain.
Well, look, the overwhelming reaction was Spurs fans want this shoe. And I think that's the overwhelming one. Now, there was a little bit of Spurs fans like yourself that were like, yeah, I guess, you know, that kind of reaction. But the biggest, or should I say the strongest negative response was the N. Because New Balance, what they do on their, they put a big N on the shoe. And it's right up near the high top area. Are you okay with that end? If you just take away your thoughts on it, just the aesthetic of it, or should they keep the end there or just remove it altogether?
Yeah, New Balance needs to do something with that logo. That logo is ugly, dude. You have the iconic Swoosh logo from Nike, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the New Balance old man shoe kind of, you know, mentality that everybody has. I mean, that's an old, ugly logo, man. Can we kind of give it a little modern flair, you know? I mean, if they want to give like a bona fide, legit, you know, shoe out there that everybody's going to want to get, you got to make it a little bit more modern, man. I mean, everybody goes crazy over these Nike, you know, player edition shoes that are hard to come by, or, you know, they have a bunch of special editions that are always coming out every other week, every other month. And New Balance, they're just like, eh. You know, it's just like, oh, they released a new shoe. I'm like, eh, that's nice. I'll look at it, but I'm not going to buy it. You know, you got to wow.
Joe, you're a tough act, man.
No, just wow me, man. Just, you know, do something to church it up a little bit. I mean, would you be wearing that shoe, that DeJounte Murray shoe, if it cost you $250 and you have that ugly end, that New Balance logo there with nothing else about San Antonio other than this is the Fiesta color? Why go buy it?
I don't mind. I like it. I think it's cool. I like that, you know, it's something for the fans who've been wanting the colors. You know, Murray wears them during games and Spurs fans go gaga over that. Who knows what's going to happen next season? Well, official 2021 season with the city editions jerseys, because the contract with USAA is up. So maybe
they're going to give us. You know what they're going to give us. They're probably not going to give us the Fiesta colors, Jeff. You know that, man. They know the fans want it, man. They'll probably just wind up just traditional silver and black is what we'll get. And we'll get the retro silver and black from, you know, the George Gervin days, you know? So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that'd be fine with me. Yeah.
That's not bad, but I think we need to let go of the Fiesta color dream, man, because I'm tired of having my heart broken every year.
Don't tell everybody where they can follow you on social media so they can throw tomatoes at you for what you just said.
I'm just saying, man, I'm tired of having my heart broken every year. The Spurs know we all want Fiesta colors. And what do? They give you the total opposite of what you want. You know, it's like, come on now, man. You got to listen to the fan every once in a while.
The Jaded Joe show right now. He's so jaded.
No, man, I'm just tired, you know, just tired of the same old, man. Just at least one night. Give us a Fiesta colored thing, or give us a Fiesta colored court, man. Something, you know?
Hey, Hey, imagine this one night only in the Alamo Dome, the 90s feel, just one game out of the whole year.
That wasn't bad. You know, I saw the court. Remember you put the picture of the court out, and it kind of had that little flare from the Spurs warm-ups. That was nice, man. I wouldn't mind something like that. It could be subtle, just the border. It doesn't have to be on the court. If they just did the border around the court, the fans would love it. But again, we ask too much.
Joe, once again, tell everybody they can follow you on social media.
They can follow me at Two Shots Podcast on Twitter. It's at Two Shots Podcast, all spelled out, TWOSHOTS Podcast. And I'd be happy to talk about the Spurs and everybody's dislike for the Spurs not giving them Fiesta colors. If you don't like the Fiesta colors, like some of the Spurs fans out there, I'm here for that as well. You know, some of them just like the silver and black. So if you want to have something to talk about and discuss, I'm here for it.
Give Joe a follow. Look, there's no Spurs season going on right now, so why not talk about Joe and his pessimism when it comes to the Spurs giving fans what they want, and that is some sort of Fiesta color, whether it be on the jersey or the court. So for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone just for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. We're still keeping it going there. There may not be any games, no playoff scenario situations, but there is still plenty of content for you to enjoy during the NBA Spurs hiatus. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.